So let's pray right now and ask God just to move. Father, we thank you for our brother Kenny today. Father, as he brings forth the word, we pray that he bring it forth under the anointing of the Spirit of God himself. And we pray, Lord, that this word would be something like a starter's pistol that would give us a clear signal that it's time to run the race. Lord, we pray that you strengthen him and that you touch our hearts and we take this word and we be doers of the word. So, Father, we pray your anointing upon our brother right now in Jesus' name, and we all said,
Amen. 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 Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Great.
Amen. As you guys know by now, any of my teachings, I usually have a song. Would you guys like a song?
Yeah.
The song kind of encompasses my message. So we'll start off with a song.
One guarantee, this broken world will only leave me empty. But there's a life that healed my heart, and it holds firm when I'm falling apart. I will stand on the truth in the living word of God, 'cause every time it moves my soul and shapes my every thought.
Hallelujah. I entitled this message, The Living Word. As you well know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to tell you about my Jesus. You know, I was thinking about that with Pastor John's message, talking about evangelism, talking about getting out there, talking about the mission field. And I thought, let me tell you about my Jesus. Right? Sounds like a good quote. Let me tell you about my Jesus. When you get studying the Word of God, I had to study for this message, a lot of times you can start going down these rabbit trails, these bunny trails. You get studying so much, so long, I was telling my son that just yesterday. He came over to study. I took him down all kinds of trails so that he wouldn't get his study done, and then he just had to do more. Finally, he decided to leave. He said, I got to go study with somebody serious like Ricardo. Him and Ricardo will be teaching Tuesday. Don't miss it. Right, Shane? Right? But one of the things I came across was this. It's a little something that I thought you guys might like. Standing at the gates of heaven, at the end of the age, when all the believers were standing in line waiting to get into heaven, the angel Gabriel appeared and said, I want all the men to form two lines. Right? One line will be for the men who were true heads of their households. The other will be for the men who were dominated by their wives. Gabriel continued, and now we need all of the women to report to Mary and Martha on the other side of the gate. The women left while the men hurriedly formed two lines. The line of men who were dominated by their wives seemingly unending. The line of men who were true to their true head of their households had just one man standing in it. Gabriel said to the first line, you men ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You were appointed to be heads of the household, and you have not fulfilled your purpose. All of you, out of all of you, there is only one man who obeyed. Gabriel turned to the one man and asked, how did you come to stand in this line? And the man sheepishly replied, my wife told me to stand here. Right? You get serious when you start studying God's word. Right? And then I thought of John Clinton. We got intercessory prayer on Thursdays, right? And I found about this one about answered prayer. I thought this would be really good. Everybody likes having answered prayer, right? So after starting a new diet, I altered my drive to work. I avoid passing my favorite bakery. I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning. As I approached, there in the window was a host of chocolates, donuts, and cheesecakes. I felt this was no accident, so I prayed, Lord, it's up to you. If you want me to have any of those delicious goodies, create a parking place for me directly in front of the bakery. And sure enough, on the eighth time around the block, there it was. God is so good. There's your answer to prayer, right? But I'm here to talk to you about the Word, the living Word, Scripture. Right? How many here have a Bible? How many have it with them? Whether paper, electronic, it's something that we have. I love having it on my phone because then I have it with me at all times. It's so vitally important to us as believers to have that. And I didn't quite understand or have a full depth of how important it is. I mean, it is. But it's if you meditate on it, if you think about it, it just, God reveals so much through the Holy Spirit about the situation with the Bible. How the Word came to us. And how important that was. So Scripture has been given by God to lead people to faith and salvation. Through Scripture, believers are nurtured in faith and led to spiritual maturity. We talked about that. How important it is to belong to a body so that we can mature. John 1:1-4 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. All right, Donovan is not in the room, because as small as that is, you have Hebrew at the top. The same scripture I just read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. How many here can read the Hebrew? Anybody? Now, when Jonathan teaches, we get glimpses of the Hebrew. I don't know that he could write it, but he can get the translation of it and give us the translation or the deeper meaning of that Hebrew word going into the context back then. And I thought to myself, I am so glad that my Bible is not in Hebrew. To have to learn Hebrew to understand God's word. And then I started thinking about it, and the NIV is what I use, among other ones, but the NIV is basically what I've been using. New International Version. And they just recently, last year, had a 50th anniversary. And with it, they gave a history of it. And it really sparked interest in me. This history of the Word. Never really thought about how it went from Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, translated into Latin, translated into many other languages before it was even translated into English. And then it was translated in English. Anybody hear Wycliffe, theologian? Some of us have. He translated it to English, but it was a handwritten manuscript. So it'd be kind of hard for us to turn around and read that word, to hear that word, if everything had to be handwritten. It wasn't until the printing press that you had mass distribution of the word. And even then, it still wasn't in all the languages. You have unsung Gutenberg. There you go, Pastor John. See? And that was one of the unsung heroes. But it's not something that we think about. It's not something that we make that connection with. His time came and went, and it's like, oh, yeah. For us, it's not about going down to the printing press and saying, hey, can you run me off a Bible? We just go to the bookstore. We don't even have to go to the bookstore. We can order it online. They'll send it right to your front door, right, Shane? Yep, you can download it within 30 seconds, an app. And if you're my son, it has to be free. And it says later in life, he'll learn to pay for them. Right? But we have these unsung heroes, which is a person who makes a substantive, yet unrecognized contribution, a person whose bravery is unknown or unacknowledged. How many here knew of Gutenberg? Remember it in school? Having to do with the... Not many, though. Right? How many here heard of Howard Long? Besides you, Pastor John. He's heard of him twice. He knows him twice. Once as his friend's father, right? Howard Long. Anybody know him? And this is how I came about. And this is what I love about the Holy Spirit. I love about the messages coming forth because I look for God to speak to me through the Holy Spirit, to inspire me, to take me down those roads. Howard Long, actually, engineer Howard Long became convinced of the need for a contemporary English translation of the Bible while sharing the gospel with a business associate in 1955. If it wasn't for him, you would not have the New International Version. 1955. I kept thinking about this. It just wouldn't leave. I'm like, I never made that connection. Never knew who translated, who was part of the translation process so that I, a simple man, would be able to understand the Word of God and how important it is for that word to be understood. Brian read from, I think, three different translations upstairs this morning. One by accident, the other two on purpose. There's so many that, and it brings forth understanding. I like going from one to another and seeing how it confirms in the words that they choose. Now, sometimes those words, as my son pointed out, are $5 words that I have to translate even to NIV words, or at least in here, right? It says, his passion for the Word of God was the spark that led to the NIV. Howard Long was no ordinary man. As an inventor, pilot, college physics instructor, businessman, and engineer, he was passionate about many things in life. One fervent passion stood out from the rest, his unwavering dedication to his Christian faith. Nothing brought him greater joy than discussing and sharing the Word of God with Christians and non-Christians alike. Nothing brought him greater frustration than the struggle to clearly and colloquially, that's the $5 word that I had to look up still, right? Which means bringing it forth in a language that I can understand. He chose a word that I didn't understand. I had to take the time to look it up. Luckily, the NIV, they took the best, right, of both the accuracy, they tried to stay as accurate as they could, but put it in everyday language so that it would bring forth that understanding. and it was so important. It says, these tensions came to a head one evening in the summer of 1955 in Portland, Oregon, where Long was traveling for business. He was dining with the fellow businessmen at the historic Multnomah Hotel when the discussion, as discussions with Long did, turned to his Christian faith. As the two began talking about spiritual issues, Long suggested that they read the scriptures together. Now, how important is that, to read the scriptures? It says, after the meal, Long pulled out the King James Bible. Jerry, I believe you prefer the King James. Nothing to do with the age, right? Nothing to do with the age, having met him? Thou, Jerry, that is a good choice. So after his meal, right, they decided, pulled out the King James, the Bible, began to read out loud its familiar verses. When he glanced up to see how the man was receiving God's message, Long was baffled by his reaction. He got red in the face, Long said, and pretty soon just exploded with laughter. So this gentleman, this businessman, this acquaintance of his, right, he wasn't used to the language of the King James Bible. It's like, who speaks like that? You know, it's like going down to Mexico and hearing Spanish. I would be like, who speaks like that? Everybody there, except for me. That's why we take interpreters, translators. It's important to translate, especially if you're sending Pastor Dom down there. You have to have a translator. And when he goes off trying to translate his own thing, who knows what can happen. Says Long could hardly believe how grossly the King James Bible had failed to communicate the Word of God. For him, the growing divide between the language of the Bible and the contemporary language of the people was reaching a breaking point. If an educated businessman found the Scriptures, the sacred Word of God, so comical, there was certainly a discrepancy between the Bible, what the Bible said, and what was being understood. And this is something that really caught my attention. How this unsung hero set out on a quest to bring the word to us so that we could understand it, so that we as lay people could confirm it, that as the Bereans did, they'd go to the word and they would confirm what was being said. You can go to the word and confirm what's being said to you today, what's being said when Pastor John preaches, Pastor Don or Bob or John. You can go to the word. You're not, well, I don't have a Bible. They have the Bible. That happened. Where the Bible was written in Latin and was only supposed to be written in Latin. If you wrote it in another language or translated it, they were out to get you. The Roman Church was out to get you. They called it the Dark Ages because only the priests would bring forth the interpretation of what he was reading. And that's why, one of the reasons why they started translating it, so that others could confirm what was being said. Everybody here of Luther, Martin Luther? Yep. His paper, his 95 thesis, right, Shane, was nailed to the door of the church. Right? But he wrote it in Latin. It was meant for the priests. It was meant for the church. But some students of his decided to translate it into German. And it being translated into German within 2 weeks, everybody knew about it. Because it was in the language of the people. And that was your Reformation. When the people can understand God's word. When the people have the availability to read the word and understand it. It's so important. So he started out on this quest in 55. Right? When do you think they begin actually doing it? 65. I'm thinking, okay, for the Holy Spirit to impress upon one person, that's easy. That's one individual. But now he impressed it upon Howard Long and Howard Long's pastor of his church. But they're just two people. So they took it to their denomination. But the denomination rejected it at first. Then it went before many denominations. Until you have a coalition, right? The CRC would eventually join forces with the National Association of Evangelicals and others in the evangelical world. In August of 65, a broad spectrum of evangelical scholars, leaders, and church commissioned a new contemporary English translation of the Bible by evangelical scholars. Long saw the vision grow from one man to one church, to one denomination, to a broad evangelical coalition. Ultimately, it became a reality. The New International Version, the New Testament was completed in 73. In 78, the full version of NIV was published. Today, the NIV is the most widely read Bible, contemporary English, offering readers both accuracy and readability. I thought, wow. See, the Holy Spirit not only had to get one person inspired, two people inspired, but then he had to come across denominations, bring unity for a purpose. Scripture has a purpose. God's word has a purpose. And it will not return void. It may take some time to produce some fruit, like Pastor John talked about. Somebody planted, somebody else watered. And then you had numerous people bring forth this fruit so that we could sit here on a Sunday and hear that word in a language that we can understand. Because if we spoke it in Hebrew or Greek and had Donovan come up, we'd all be like, okay, well, it sounded good. But what did it mean? It's so important because we even sing the words of songs and what does it mean? Well, that was a good song, the living word. What does it mean? Right? Scripture is intended to lead people to salvation. We read that. The living word of God. Scripture is intended to lead people to salvation. If that was written in Hebrew, how many people would have gotten saved in this room? Somebody said, well, whoever decided to study Hebrew, whoever was near somebody that knew Hebrew and hoped that the person that knew Hebrew wanted to share the gospel, wanted to share the good news. It's one of the things that we often hear that we take for granted because it is something that you can stand upon. It is firm. It is solid. We take it for granted and we stand upon it, but all too often, it's neglected. We don't see the cost people have paid for us to have that. There was 1 million copies sold before it was even finished being printed. There was a hunger and a thirst for that because they hadn't had that. They hadn't had that word in a language that was for them to be able to read, to study, to understand. We have that and have had that for 50 years. And then we ask ourselves, what do we do with it? It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And from how from infancy you have been known, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Able to make you wise. So this word that we have is able to make us wise. How many here want wisdom? I mean, my first thought is wisdom will help me to get out of my troubles. Because I know I want out of my troubles. I want out of my trials. I might have to be in them, but then I want to know how to stand in the midst of them then. I want to know how to have joy in the midst of my suffering, how to have that hope that the enemy can't take, that the world can't take. It's in the Word. It's been given to us. You know, what's so neat about the continuation of the updates and everything is that you can get the study Bible so you can actually go to a concordance and look up how to stand underneath trials, how to stand in the midst of suffering. And it'll lead you to scriptures that you're able to read to encourage you, to lift you up. Scripture is intended to lead us people to salvation, right? Psalm 19:7-11. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Okay, so we have this word that is perfect. Refreshing the soul. How many here need their soul refreshed? I mean, I don't know about you, but I start early on a Sunday morning because by the time I get here, I want to be refreshing, not, oh, I need to be refreshed. So that wisdom came at some point and reading the Word that I can start before 10 o'clock. I don't have to wait till 10 o'clock and say, Lord, I need to be refreshed. Let me get through these three songs, then I'll be all right. I mean, just simple wisdom, because I'm serious, I'm simple. I wake up, sometimes I'm nice and I wait for Jesse to wake up, sometimes I'm not, and I got the music going. And I put the worship music on. I just want that to wash over me. I want that Word to wash over me. Open the Word, start reading. I allow it to wash over me. This is something I learned to do. Something that His Word says to do. How many here love their work when they go to work? They love their job. We got two. Okay, we got two. How many go, whether they love it or not, because they love being able to pay their bills and having food and a home? There's a secondary purpose behind it. But if you're like anybody, you can go to your job, and by the end of that day, the world has tried to just creep on you. It wants to latch on. Individuals and their what they say and do want to turn around and dictate how you're going to turn around and react. As Brian talked about in class, how we react to things. And I'm telling you, the easiest thing to do is go to the Word. I put the worship music on. I said, okay, we're going to shake this off. What better to shake it off with than the Word of God? The truth. And stand upon that truth. Know that truth. It's so important. John 20, 30-31 says, Jesus performed many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So this isn't even the full story. This is a glimpse into what Jesus did when he was on earth. It's not even the full story. I've heard it said, I don't know, but it'd be hard to contain what he did. He said, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The life that he talks about is an everlasting life. It's not a fleeting thing that comes and goes with the way that the world has life. You know, the way the world is, you're up one day, you're down the next. Depending on what happens, your circumstances. When you start grounding yourself in the Word of God, it's not about circumstances. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about what He's done and is doing for you to bring understanding of who it is and what it is that we need to do to be able to be victorious and more than conquerors in this life. And not just for ourselves, but to be victorious and conquerors for others, to be able to fight for others. The Word will teach you how to fight for others. Sometimes it's hard enough to fight for ourselves. Sometimes we can be so self-centered that we really won't fight for ourselves, but we will fight for others. So that's a little confusing to me. That we'll fight for others, but when it comes to ourselves, yeah. But fighting for yourself is where it begins. You have to be strong. You have to be bold and courageous to truly be able to fight for others and to be victorious. How many here know people that they want to fight for? That you know you are not going to allow the gates of hell to prevail. Absolutely not. That the Word that you stand upon is what's going to do it. The sword of the Spirit. The gates of hell will not prevail in that situation. The enemy paints a picture. And somehow the enemy is able to paint the picture all the way to the end of time. That there's people that we've given up hope on. We've painted that picture. Oh, they ain't never. How do you know? You've painted that picture all the way to the end of time, and here you're standing in today. What it is the enemy's robbed you of your hope.
He's robbed you of the truth. He's robbed you of the word. As long as there is a God, there is hope. Neat thing about that is God always was and always will be. There's always a hope. I will put my hope and my trust in God. Now, it may not come about the way that I want, because if it was up to me, it would never had to happen. I would have never had to fight for that individual. I would have never had to see them suffer. I would have never had to endure the pain. I would have never chose any of that. But if that never happened, I probably would have never put my trust in God. I probably wouldn't be putting my hope in Him. I probably wouldn't even need to know Him, because I would think that this is good. What do I need God for? But we do need Him. Scripture is intended to lead the believer to maturity in faith by its teaching. Head to Heart University was the last thing I talked about, by its teaching. You never, ever stop learning. Just through a simple situation of the NIV, Howard Long, he brought forth such a valuable aspect of the transformation of my life. The NIV was the first Bible I got. And when I asked, it was a study Bible. God must have known something. Because I'm like, are you kidding? You know? But it had resources built in to make it even easier for me to study. Built in. Shane came over yesterday. He's studying for the men's group. I'm like, I look good. Because I've been using those resources. I start sharing this. He's, where'd you get that? I'm like, oh. Now I got to give away my secret. It's in the back of my Bible. It's in the concordance. What? His mom's old school. She just pulls out the book and slams, here's the books. Puts them on a table. These books are this thick and whatnot. Right away, it looks overwhelming. I'm like, oh, Matthew Henry, what verse is that? Matthew 7:7. Okay, here you go. Here's the concise version, the new updated version. It's not as long. You don't have to read as much. It's supposed to bring you understanding faster. Isn't that what I want? My time is valuable. Anybody here, is their time valuable? Because when it comes to time, one of the things that we do last is carve out time for the Word. But I've learned, the more time I carve out for the Word, the better I'm able to turn around and go through this life to deal with the situations at hand. My wife come in this morning, and I usually have paper notes as backup. She come in, oh, your notes didn't print. Sure hope your phone works. I'm like, well, thank you. I got backup. I got an iPad up there. That's what's up there. This is here. I says, but what's more important is that you want it written upon your heart. For it to be written upon our heart, you need to read it. You need to study it. You need to do what the Word says. It needs to be impressed upon you. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your house and on your gates. Put them on your refrigerator. See, that's the New Contemporary Version. He's already translated that. This is the Word. So when we struggle, you got to ask, did I do this? Because reading it, it's not enough. It's doing it that counts. It's doing it. And then like anything, well, I tried that. It didn't work. Okay, well, give it another minute. You did it for 30 seconds. You know, from what I read, I'm a lump of clay in the potter's, you know, hand. I wasn't like some piece of precious artwork that he only had to do a touch-up. No, I was a mess. You know, and he's brought me a long way. And unlike Paul, I can't say it is finished. It's not finished. He's bringing me further. What I love about it is that he wants to bring me further. He's faithful to bring me further. He's faithful to see it through to the end. How do I know that? His word tells me that. He'll never leave me, never forsake me. Ever. And that's when things are going good. He's like, oh, things are going good for you? Good luck, you're on your own. I don't know about you, but that would scare me. That's usually when people get into trouble, right, Bob? Not that he leaves them, they leave him. And see, I don't know that things are going great for us, but I think we get complacent or just caught in that mundane that we're like, well, this is the best it's going to ever be. I'm not settling for that. I'm not settling that this is it, that God's done with me. I'm not settling that God's done with my kids. I'm not. Now, granted, when it comes to people at work, I have to get to the fifth thought. Because sometimes, you know, depending on the day and who it is, I'm like, well, God may be done with you. But it wasn't true. It was me. I'm just like, I'm done with you. I'm not talking about this no more. You know? Then God works on my heart, and I end up blessing the gentleman. How many here would just want to be done? I don't want to be done. This is an awesome journey because God is with us. God is with us. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. This is my wife's favorite scripture. I have hidden your word in my heart. Now, if only she could remember where it's at. She'd be doing real good. Right, honey? She's like, no, I've hidden his word in my heart. I just don't know where I put it. I have a big heart. Have we hidden his word in our heart? How much? See, you know, I hear people, well, you need to read more of your word. You need to study your word. And we know that. I mean, you're not telling us anything that we don't know. My thing is, why? Why? What's the purpose? And I think the reason why we don't is because we don't understand the purpose that God has when he's done what he's done as far as putting this word into place. His purpose was us to have life and have it abundantly. We have this disillusion that, well, if I read his word, does that mean that I'll never have a problem? If somebody told you that, they lied. If you read his word, you will have problems. You will have troubles. But you will never be alone. Will I understand everything that's happened to me in this life if I read his word? Not this side of heaven. Sometimes I don't even understand what happened to me yesterday, let alone in this life. I'm like, Lord, really, I don't understand. And then that Holy Spirit, trust me. No, I want to understand. understand that you're to trust me. All right. And I can voice my opinion. Well, I don't like this. He said, well, obviously. Who would? Did Jesus like going to the cross? But there was a purpose behind it. What was the purpose?
Us.
Me. Me. He understood that. He understood also that the purpose was to be obedient to his Father. That was good enough for him. Did the disciples see all this? See the end of time? See the time coming? See all the people that would come about by the word being preached? By the good news going forward? Did the disciples see all the translations of the language into which all the people would turn around and hear the word? But they trusted his word when he said, my word will not return void. And it hasn't. This world, you say, looks bleak, looks dim, all kinds of havoc going on. That's just because it's readily available. Before the printing press, the world looked pretty good. But it was still a mess. You were in the Dark Ages. It was called the Dark Ages. 1,000 years. But you just didn't hear about it all the time, depending on where you were. I sense God doing something awesome. And he wants to move us, his children, to life, an abundance of that, through his word. Thank God for Howard Long being inspired and being frustrated that he could not communicate the gospel. We don't have to turn around and communicate the gospel with these elegant words. We do it with our life. We do it with just common day language. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what his word says. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, by all means. Do you want to use this?
No. Like to add just briefly, I was just thinking about what you said, Kenny, about that when the
this might be on.
And in 1973, that the Bible was first translated. I got my first copy of it in 1977, and it was around 73 or two or three. I was beginning to be drawn to God, and I was looking around trying to find out about God. And it was right in that time, 73, 74, 75, there was something that happened in our nation called the Jesus Movement. There were tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of the Holy Spirit was moving like crazy, and people were getting saved all over this country. And I just was looking at that thinking, man, that's the great coinciding with God bringing. Isn't it amazing that when the Holy Spirit's moving, what a coincidence. That's when the new translation comes out that's readable. I was frustrated myself, and I got that copy. I had the original, the New Testament. I couldn't get the Old Testament yet. It wasn't done yet. And I kept going back to the bookstore, Agape Bookstore was over, and they didn't have it. When is it coming out? When's it coming out? Well, it's supposed to be out pretty soon, and, you know, kept asking, and it finally came out in 78 or I think it was 78, yeah. And I remember that whole time period, and I had a small one, a pocket one I had when I was living in Boston in school, and when I was at school there. And it was great when that came out. I loved it. I just devoured that word because it was so readily readable. And like I said, the Spirit of God was moving all over the place, and it's just a confirmation of, you know, just everything you were saying there. It just really sparked something in me thinking about that, about how the Holy Spirit just keeps moving in different ways.
Amen.
So just wanted to add that to it, you know?
I think it's awesome. I was excited. I was excited to bring it forth. And I know, I prayed that God would just touch your heart to understand that, like I said, you have an unsung hero in Howard Long.
I would have never known this individual, but now I'm thanking him every day. I'm like, man, I'm glad he understood that, you know, hey, I'm just a simple guy. You know, and I still have to look stuff up in the simple version. So I'm a real simple guy. The key is, I'll spend the time. I'll spend the time. Because I'm not quick. As Shane knows, he's like, Dad, we'll be here forever. You know, I'm not. I'll spend the time to try to understand it. And I'll look up, you know, the next book you have is the dictionary. Because you try to get a depth of understanding with just the words that are being spoken. You know, I was not one of the, even though I got good grades, I was not a real good student in school as far as just retaining things. But God's changed that. I just take longer to get there. That's why Pastor John gives me 3 months to do my message. You know, we wouldn't call upon him to do one in a week. No way, he wouldn't be prepared. He wouldn't be ready, right, Pastor Don? Amen. Let's pray. Let's have the prayer team come up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're moving and moving mightily, Father God, in our lives here in this particular body, Lord God, but also in the lives of our brothers and sisters all across this land, all across this world, Lord God. You've given us, and you continue to give us, your words, Lord God. You continue to bring understanding to us, Lord God. But I pray, Father God, this day that you would implant a burning desire, Father God, in our hearts to know you through your word, Father God. Like it says, Lord God, that we would talk about you, that we would talk about your word, Lord God. Even as the disciples were walking, were our hearts not burning within us? Let our hearts burn within us, Father God, when we hear your words, Father God. When we listen to them praise and worship songs, Lord God. Let our hearts burn within us, Father God, that we crave more of you, Father God, more of your word, Father God. Teach us to stand upon your word, to be firm, Father God, in what it is that you're doing, Lord God. That we be unswayed, Father God, by the things of this world, Father God. Let not the gates of hell prevail against our loved ones, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Father God, we lift up each and every one of our loved ones, Father God. We know, Father God, that every one of us have people, Father God, loved ones, Father God, that we want to see come into the kingdom, Lord God. We want to see have them a relationship with you, Father God. Teach us, Father God, how to fight for them, Father God, how to stand strong in the midst of it, Lord God. Bring forth victory, Father God, as we go forward, Lord God. As we sing your praises and shout your honor, Lord God, let the walls come tumbling down. Every high place that the enemy set up, Father God. That you wear the victor's crown, Lord God. Let us wake up with making declarations of your word, Father God. Declarations of who you are and what you're doing, Lord God. We thank you and give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.